Right, February 6th, 2009. This is episode 4 of Tiger Claw Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Critical Failure, your host, and we're going to get right into it. Okay, so if you listened to the last podcast, first of all, I apologize for the quality of that. That was recorded on a cheesy little MP3 player, and most of it was done in a car, so it was picking up the engine sound, probably more than it was picking up my voice, the voice of my co-host, Systems Overload. But that aside, there were some questions that we asked you, the listener, for some responses. And so let's go over those. First off, do classic gamers ever play modern games? I got a pretty big response from this question, and it's kind of split down the middle. Dark Lancer writes, they're too expensive, so no. I wait until modern systems become classics or retired first so I can get them cheap. Okay, what else? Wong Chung Bang, longtime Game FAQs board user, writes, well, on this board at least, the long-timers don't have any active antagonism towards modern games or anything. The general discussion thread has been going on for 20 topics now, which has come to think of it more than 10,000 posts, so that's pretty decent evidence that there's no reason that you can't be both. I've sort of fallen behind with regard to the modern games, and have a rather strong bad mentality as to what represents new now, but if PS2 games count as new to everyone else, then yes, I play new games as well as old. The only current generation game I've played is Metal Gear Solid 4, though even then I've only got about a chapter and a half into it. Well, here we get into the line about what is and isn't a classic game, and I think that's totally up to interpretation. You know, some people think PS1 games and earlier are considered classic games. Some people shudder at the thought of calling PS1 games classics. I don't know. I don't care. As far as PS2, you could call that classic if you want. I don't care. You know, you could call, as far as I'm concerned, you could call a brand new game classic if you felt like it. You know, classic to me is a complete matter of opinion. And opinion, there is no right or wrong unless it's something horrible, in which case I will yell at you and ridicule you, as most people do in podcasts and things like that. Let's see. Ilario7886 says, I certainly do. I still play more modern stuff than I do older stuff. Though they switch positions at times, I own all my older systems. NES, now 20 years old and working perfect. SNES, N64, GB, PS1, PS2, Xbox, Genesis, and the list goes on and on. I don't have a Game Boy Advance or GameCube. I traded in towards the systems and replaced them that are backwards compatible. Last spring, I went on a 3-month trip of SNES titles I'd never played before, mixed up with Smash Bros. Brawl. As it is, I currently have a DS, 360, Wii, and PS3. Well, hey, thanks for answering the question and writing in. Let's go on to the next one. Next, we've got Koopa64, and he writes, as far as buying games, I almost exclusively buy older games. I put it this way, those current generation games will still be around when they go down in price, or when I'm interested in them. Older games would still too, but they're older and harder to come across. Yeah, that's kind of the way I look at it. I mean, the new games, all the reviews and videos that are being made now, all that are, you know, will still be around when they get older. So you can't really worry about the buzz too much. Back in the days of NES games, I guess when they were new, the buzz would be gone because you could see them in magazines and stuff that aren't around anymore. But that's just not the case anymore. So, I don't think there's anything wrong with waiting for a game to get old but before you buy it. But that's not the question here. The question is, do classic gamers, people who exclusively play classic games, well, not exclusively, but people who enjoy classic games and do participate in the classic game message boards, do they play modern games? So, some yes. And I got another one. Chew Your Face responds by yes all the time. So I guess he says yes. This other guy, whose name I can't even come close to pronouncing, if the game's good, I play it regardless of its release date, which probably is not unlike most of the people here. Yeah, that's another really good way to look at it. A game is a game is a game. You know, it doesn't matter when it came out. It came out in 1988 for the NES, or 84 for the Atari 2600, or just came out for the Xbox 360. If it's a good game and it's a fun way to spend your time, play it. I don't care. You know, just play the game. So that about wraps up the discussion for that question. Another question that was asked in the previous podcast was, Systems Overload asked a question to all the players of free Mass Multiplayer online games. What exactly are you looking for when you play a game like RuneScape or something like that? What do you get out of playing it? And he didn't say that to be antagonistic, but he wants to know, when you play those games, are you playing them because you want to subsidize the industry in terms of mass multiplayer games? Do you want them to start becoming free? Are you playing them because you wish you could play World of Warcraft and you can't? Just what is the when someone logs on to a game like RuneScape, what is it that is getting you to log on to that game? And I asked this question on GameFAQs.com, just like the last one, and I got a pretty good response. Let's see. Gyrobot writes, I generally enjoy playing free-to-play non-Korean-made stuff like RuneScape. While repetitive to a certain point, RuneScape was seen as a mass multiplayer online RPG done right, blending the good old days of adventure games, aka puzzle-solving and finding invisible clues and piecing it together, with RPG elements in terms of quests, even with the free-to-play. The same can't be said for the saturation of Korean-Asian mass multiplayer RPGs, though which the microtransaction used to keep the game free is rather hypocritical, as it creates a divide between non-cash shoppers and cash shoppers. The economy and general attendance by the game moderators is also quite notably broken, as there you'll not make enough even for basic items, and game moderators are mostly absent. Regardless, I may consider World of Warcraft one day if I can find a way to balance the time of playing and working. And he also says, oh, and I support free-to-play gaming as long as it doesn't disturb the balance of the game. I agree with that point. There's something that just bothers me to high heaven about games where you can buy the magical, mystical item to win the game, you know, for however many actual dollars. Because guys who just don't have that kind of money, you know, get the short end of the stick. You might as well just have a game that you have to pay to subscribe. And then once you subscribe, the playing field is even. So you might as well, in that case, just play World of Warcraft. Or EverQuest. Let's see, what else did I get? Phase 8 writes, I tried World of Warcraft once on a free trial account, and I didn't find it any better than the horde of free mass multiplayer online RPGs I've played. So I have no reason to pay for what I can get for free. I get that too. That's a matter of opinion as to what you like when you see out there. And Spirit of Shame and Rise, World of Warcraft is much better than anything else for so many reasons. If you can't tell those reasons, mass multiplayer onlines aren't for you. Okay, valid opinion. I don't want to say I take his side, because that seems a little bit flamish to me. I don't necessarily want to put somebody down for thinking they like one thing or another. You know what I mean? Video games are to be enjoyed. So it kind of baffles me when people sort of attack each other online for making disagreements. You know, you're a Sega fanboy, you're a Nintendo fanboy, you like this game, you like that game. I like World of Warcraft. I think it is the top of the mass multiplayer online market right now, but I don't think you're silly, or I don't think mass multiplayers aren't for you if you don't see that reason. You know what I mean? So that about wraps up that question. And my discussion for modern games as it is now, because I like to keep things retro, because this podcast, most or all of my, three listeners come from RetroWare TV Online. So let's talk about some retro games. Got a new feature, which we're going to do, called the NES Choice Pick. And every time I do a podcast, I'm going to pull out an old NES game and just kind of talk about my personal experiences for it. And one of the reasons why I like doing a podcast is because it seems like the restrictions of doing a YouTube video are lifted. I mean, this is a free form. I can say whatever I want and talk about whatever I want. And not just because of censorship. It's because if I were to come out and do a video about Star Tropics, okay, the happy video game nerd, Derek Alexander, you can watch his show on RetroWare TV, or you can look up Low Fat Jello on YouTube, LOPHAT Jello. He's got an awesome show. He did Star Tropics already. Star Tropics has been done in terms of video format. But now, on the podcast, I can talk about it. So this is a game that I was kind of surprised to see that video come up, because not many people know it. And one of the things that I find about Star Tropics is it was a Nintendo title that had kind of a dark, like, scary, I don't want to say too scary, like today's modern horror games, or even like Sweet Home from the NES era, but it had the kind of comedic, family friendly, and yet scary kind of haunted house type thing to it. Like, for example, for those of you who are familiar with the game, in the third level, there's a particular level where you have to walk into a graveyard and go to a particular gravestone, which is tinted a certain color. and that will take you into the level. And the graveyard is really dark and kind of, you know, the scary horrors type music over the background, at least as well as they could do on the 8-bit system. Now, the point I'm making at is they never did anything with this series after the second Star Tropics game. If you look at those levels, they could take this game. This would be a perfect example of a game that could be family-friendly, but could still those scary, really deep backgrounds type of game. Like, picture this game in the format of, like, Super Mario 64. You know what I mean? The technology's there, and the character is already there. Star Tropics has got, you know, a pretty decent following of people online who remember this game. So Star Tropics is not a forgotten game. Look at, like I was talking about, look up the Happy Video Games Nerds, the Happy Video Game Nerds videos. Star Tropics is the second most popular video, and I'm willing to bet some of that is because that's a title that people recognize and relate to. You know what I mean? So Star Tropics is my NES choice pick. I'm going to take a quick break. One of the new features that I'm going to start doing on the podcast is I want to start featuring small underground bands that I find on the internet. So I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to play a song from a band called 80 Pills. This song is called Dead in 30 Days.
Yesterday, yeah, I knew that he just couldn't stay. No sooner knew identity, amnesia finally set him free. So alone.
The email address is ajc1490@gmail.com. If you have anything to say about our topic today, feel free to write in. If you just have any memories of any old games you want to share with us, please write in. Feel free to send your comments or record yourself, and I'll play it on the air. I recently did figure out a way to track my traffic. I was kind of putting these up blindly, but now I can see that they are actually getting downloaded, once or twice maybe, but these are being downloaded, which is awesome. So thank you so much for listening. And so moving right along, I want to talk about text games, early text-based adventure games for like DOS. Back in the PC gaming days of what Wikipedia describes as like the plastic bag bulletin board days, when buying a PC game was basically in a plastic bag on a bulletin board, you know, with a diskette. Does anybody still play those games that are text-based, like Zork? I know GameFAQs.com held a poll, that the polls that they do every day. One of their polls was if those games are still being played. And out of like 50,000 people who answered that question, I think there was like maybe 500 or 600 people who said, yeah, I play them all the time. So I know the people who play those are really small. Like the fan base for those games are so small. But I don't know. I still like those games, you know? And maybe it's just like a kick that I've been in recently. But I came across an editor called Text World, which basically lets you put together a game like that. Now, it's really, really like limited in what you can do, but you can have up to 500 rooms, and the descriptions are, I think, that you can put in a room are restricted to a few lines. So like I said, you can really only do a simple little game, but I love anything that lets you, I love all the really simplified development kits like that, or like Pinball Construction Set. And when I found this thing, one thing I noticed was that the website of the people that made it, because this game was made in like, I don't know, 2003 or something like that, the website was gone. So this was just something somebody put out and just kind of died. It's a DOS game. You can run it in DOSBox, even though it was made fairly new. And it's free right now, so I'll put it up on the website. One thing you'll notice when you download this podcast that's new is I now have a text file. I wanted to put the text file in so I could tell you about, like, when I talk about these various games, because I'm sometimes I have a little trouble getting myself organized. I want you to be able to figure out what I'm talking about. It's one of the reasons why I love freeware. I love making videos about freeware, because when you see the games, if they look good, you can go ahead and get them, which is cool. Not enough freeware in the world right now. Alright, enough about all that. Okay, we're going to go, we're going to go on to Games to Spotlight, the freeware games that I have to talk about. But before I get into that, I just want to mention that a couple of projects that I'm working on, and now the first podcast, the only other podcast that I actually did at my computer like I'm doing it now, I spent a lot of time talking about videos that are coming. Real brief, videos that are coming out right now are, the next video is going to be Streets of Rage Remake, which will probably be released with this podcast. Then I have a Jetpack video for a game called Jetpack, which I've done the audio for, but in a video. And I have a music video coming out, which is taking forever, but will be pretty good. And I also have the Mugen video, which I have collected plenty of footage for, but I don't have a script yet. So just real quick, that's what I'm working on. So that's what you can look forward to. But now, we're going to talk about some freeware, and I'm going to put the spotlight on a few games. The first game I'm going to put the spotlight on is Jetpack. Jetpack is a game that came out in 1993, and I love it because it's got the fun of a side-scroller, but it's all in one screen. And they made it freeware, I think, in 2003, because they're working on a Jetpack 2, which nobody knows anything about. It's like a closely guarded secret or something. But Jetpack 2 was announced in 2008, so this game will come out, apparently. I mean, I think it's going to come out. Who knows? You know, we were promised a Space Quest 7, I think, and that was scrapped. And they tried to get it back together, and it scrapped again. So who knows if it'll actually come out or not. But because in order to promote that game, they made the original Jetpack freeware. You can pick it up from reloaded.org, and I have the link in the text file that comes with this podcast. So that's Jetpack. Another game that I wanted to put the spotlight on was a favorite of mine from way back when called Castle of the Winds. Now this is like a roguelike game. if you remember Rogue, it's a lot of like point and click kind of interface, but it reminds me of Diablo, like Diablo in a simpler time. Like imagine Diablo for Windows 3.1, you know, going into a dungeon with simple graphics. It's not ASCII based, but it's simple graphics. You point and clicking against monsters, you learn spells, you cast them, go back, collect items, and go back to the town and sell them, and then there's, you proceed to the next town and there's two towns. The dungeon has like 25 levels or something like that, and then that's the game. And then there's a part two to it, which was originally what you had to register for and pay for. But the guy who made it is just giving it away now because this game is sold. I mean, I think it came out for Windows 3, version 3.1, the version of Windows that was before Windows 95. So you got to check that out. I mean, if you never played this game and you're into like classic games that are like really old, that's cool. That's going to be in the text document, the text file also. Apart from that, Rogue. I got a question for all you who are listening now and play these old DOS games. Do you remember Rogue? How far did you get in that game? I mean, this is a game that, like, how many games are called roguelike games, you know? Like Diablo. Diablo is not exactly a roguelike game, but you can tell the roots. Play Rogue and then play Diablo and tell me that you can't see the similarities there. So I want to hear about memories of Rogue, you know? I had a copy of Rogue on my old IBM 386 machine that had, like, a scoreboard, like the top, you know, 10 scores in Rogue. A scoreboard that spanned across, like, 20 years of playing games. Alright? I wish I still had it, but I don't anymore. So, if you've beaten Rogue, which I certainly haven't, because I think you have to go down 16 levels and then come back up again, and I've only gone down, like, 10 before. But that's Rogue. That's definitely spotlight on Rogue. If you haven't played Rogue, get yourself a copy of DOSBox. Follow the link in the text document and go play Rogue. Come back and tell me what you think. Write into ajc1490@gmail.com. And I think I'm going to cut that short. I had a few more games I wanted to go over, but I think we're running a little long today. I like to keep it short because it's just me. So my big questions that I want to leave you with are, if you play text-based games, write in. If you think text-based games are silly, please write in. If you have any opinion on old text-based games. Also, write in if you remember Rogue, and write in if you have any stories about our NES choice games. Apart from that, if you have anything else you want to say, please feel free to write in at ajc1490@gmail.com. I don't want any donations. I just want your time. Thanks for tuning in and listening. I will be back. Next one will probably be released. I don't think I'm going to release a podcast with the jetpack episode, because that's I don't want to say it's a filler one, but it's going to be a short, quick video. I think the next podcast will probably be released with either the music video or the Mugen video. So for now, this is Critical Failure with Tiger Claw Radio, signing off.